everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Conversations with Geek People. Today I'm here with my lovely friend Selena.
Hi!
Welcome to the podcast. We are literally in Selena's car. We just saw the new movie Alice Through the Looking Glass, which is a sequel, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a sequel to the Alice in Wonderland film, which was a long ass time ago.
It was at least 5 years ago.
It's more than that. I feel like it's like 7 years.
Okay, could be.
I could be wrong, but like I lived in Dublin at the time and that was a while ago. No, it's not that long ago, is it?
Well, I know that, as I mentioned earlier, I saw it in Japanese and that was definitely in 2013 and that was on the telly in Japan at that stage.
Oh.
So I'm thinking...
2012-ish?
Yeah, maybe even... I would go 2010.
Really?
We're going to have to IMDb.
Yeah, we'll Google this later. But it's been a long time. I don't know why it took them so long to make a sequel.
Maybe Johnny Depp was too busy.
Yeah. And even when we were looking at it, I was thinking, there's Helen Bonham Carter, Johnny Depp, Anne Hathaway. Like, they're all pretty big. So, like, how much freaking money did this movie spend getting the actors and the CGI? And like,
I know, and the CGI is so good.
It was very good.
It's totally integrated, yeah.
And basically, like, before, I did this wrong last time because I did an X-Men podcast recently with Owen, my boyfriend, and we never really explained what the movie was about. We just kind of went in.
So I can see how that would be a problem.
Yeah, I was just thinking if somebody's seen it, they would be looking for a podcast. So, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, but some people look up the podcast to know if they should go and see the movie in the first place.
I guess so. But we'll just preface this by saying there is definitely going to be spoilers. So
yes.
Prepare yourself for the spoilers. But basically, this movie is years and years later where Alice is, like, a badass.
Oh, Alice is a total badass.
Yeah.
Alice is captain of the Wonder.
Yeah.
Which is her dad's ship.
And she's, like, basically amazing and... Then the ginger dude, his name I can't remember,
Ascot. Hamish Ascot.
You know better. You know these names better than me. They gotta have Selena here. But he proposed to Alice in the first movie. Selena hasn't seen the first movie, but in the first movie...
No, I have seen it. I saw it.
In Japanese?
I have seen it in English as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought you said you didn't.
No, I didn't see it in the cinema, I just saw it in telly.
Oh, okay, sorry, I picked that up wrong. But so he asked Alice to marry him and she said no.
And then she decided that she would talk to his father and go into business together. And that, so this movie kind of takes up from that, where she's coming home from her journey that she sets out on at the end of the first movie.
And basically, she goes through the looking glass.
She does. what's the name? Who was it that died? He serviced Snape. Alan Rickman.
Yes. That was so sad.
His voice was so strange.
Was that his last movie then?
I don't know. Absalon something, the big butterfly anyway. She follows him through the looking glass, and I got such a shock though when I heard his voice.
He's got such a distinctive voice, and when you hear it, it's like the deepest voice ever, and you're like, oh my god. But like, that has to have been his last film, wasn't it?
Has to have been.
Well, it's weird to hear his voice, like, knowing that he's gone, like, but that was kind of a nice thing that he was a little butterfly and he was like flying through and stuff like that. And
because that was the theme, actually, through the beginning of the movie, where she was kind of, you could see the butterfly, and then it was like, ooh, when's she going to meet the butterfly? Because we know who it is,
yeah.
And we want her to go back to Wonderland.
That was really cool, and I liked the opening scene. There was an opening scene where, like, she kind of, like, basically managed to, like, do this, like, badass, like, technique to get her and her ship through this, like...
Teeny tiny, like, little space where there was all rocks, and a millimetre either side would mean doom and death for everybody.
And she was like, oh, did she say something about impossible, like... She doesn't believe in that word or something like that.
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
It was like some quote. It was a good quote anyways.
Which we're probably butchering here.
Yeah, probably butchering it. But she went through the looking glass anyways. And I thought it was really, really kind of strange how, like, Johnny Depp is the Mad Hatter pretty much. The whole kind of, like, thing of the story is Johnny Depp is Mad Hatter is sick. Because he misses his family?
He's kind of fading away. Well, no, it's not because he misses his family. It's because he thinks that his family is still alive.
Oh, yeah.
And no one else believes him.
Yeah.
And it's so ridiculous because, like, for the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie, Alice is all like, don't tell me I can't do impossible things, or I don't believe in the impossible. And within the first 30 seconds of seeing the Mad Hatter, she's like, but that's impossible, Hatter.
Yeah, and you're like, what? Alice, you're double Alice, standard here.
Totally. That did slightly annoy me. And then it's just like, at the end of the movie, it's like, oh, I should have believed you, Hatter. And you're like, for...
Fuck you, Alice.
Yeah, I was just going to say, can I curse?
Yeah, you can curse. Fuck you,
like,
Alice.
Like, for fuck's sake, Alice, if you'd realised this an hour and a half ago, we wouldn't have to sit through the whole movie.
I was thinking the whole time watching, like, the Mad Hatter's face is how I felt so sorry for like the makeup department because he had to change his face all the time.
Yeah.
Like even when he blinks, his fucking like makeup changes, and I'm like, is that like CGI or is that like makeup artist or both? Because like the effort of that shit, like having to change, like he had these like little kind of like lines on his eyelids, and they kept changing color, and I was like, oh, that would be so tedious.
Well, apparently in the first movie he had one blown pupil and one like normal pupil, and that was to demonstrate that he actually had a brain injury, and that's why he was so mad in the first one. And I didn't notice it this much in the second one, that he had the weird pupils.
That's true, I never noticed that.
But have you noticed that thing where it was just about when he was going to throw Alice out of the house, and he went really dark.
Yeah, that kind of scary.
Yeah, and he got this really weird, like, Scottish accent. And it was like, but it was a really thick one, and you're
kind
of going...
When he gets angry, he gets real Scottish. Like, it's like this weird kind of, like... Yeah, he's like Billy Connolly or something. I'm like, what's going on there? And they make his like gap really prominent when he's angry, like his gap between his teeth.
I didn't notice that.
Like, right. I thought that was really weird. Like, I don't know, there's something really like freaky about the Mad Hatter in this one. Like, he kind of scares me.
Yeah, he's not the lovable, adorable, happy-go-lucky chappy from the last one, who you know had a slight split personality that was called for on occasion. But yeah, I don't know, there was something
eerie about him, like he kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, and then spoiler alert, there's a bit where he's like near next to death's door, and he's everything about him is white, which was really strange because he's such a vibrant character.
I was thinking if I was a kid and I was watching this, I'd be kind of creeped out.
I don't understand how it got PG, because I thought it was a bit creepy.
Yeah, it was a bit creepy.
Like, I wouldn't think of bringing, like, my godson's 8 and he loves all this kind of stuff, and there was no way I'd be reading
into that. I didn't
know
it was PG.
Yeah.
But, like, it was definitely darker than the first one.
Oh,
like,
way darker.
Like, much darker, but, like, there was some things about it that I thought were just kind of silly. Like, that I was just kind of like, what the fuck? Like,
oh, time.
Yeah, time. Like,
oh, time was so strange.
Sacha Baron Cohen plays Time. And he looks like, do you know what he reminded me of, right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it, because it makes me laugh. Remember, like, Zog or Zorg? I can't remember his name from Toy Story. And he was, like, Buzz Lightyear's
Yes!
That's what he looks like!
Yes, he actually does, except just a slightly different colour palette. Yeah, you're
right. He has, like, these stupid, like, shoulder pad things. And and the minute he came into, like, the movie, like, the first scene, he, like, falls over, like, so fucking, like, Laurel and Hardy type thing. And then he's, like... He still has the Borat voice. I'm like, what are you doing? It's like the stupidest thing.
I've never seen Borat.
But he just has this like Eastern European accent, and it's like...
Is that his default accent, though?
No, he's British.
I know, but like when he's playing a random character...
I don't know,
it must be,
because I'm just like, what is that? Like, you're just making everyone think of Borat, like... Because that's his most famous character, so to keep doing a fucking
accent...
The one thing that I was thinking,
it was just slightly off topic here, but it's... is it Mother Earth and Father Time? I know I'm going completely off topic here, but it was just... Because that kind of popped into my head, because...
Who's Mother Earth? What do you mean?
Yeah, no, but you know the way, like, as in we go...
Oh,
Mother
yeah,
Earth,
yeah, yeah.
And is it
yeah, let me try that.
Yeah. And then I kind of think that the White Queen, that she's kind of like the Mother Earth type. Mm,
I really like the White Queen.
I love her, but she didn't come off well in this movie. Yeah. Now, I know we all do stupid things when we're kids and stuff, but Jesus, none of them have the ramifications that her had.
Basically, in the movie, there's like this whole thing as to like why the Queen of Hearts is like a bitch. why she's like a crazy like psycho asshole. And basically, the reason is because she didn't steal the tarts.
I know. And her sister lied and said she did. And then she got a brain injury apparently.
Yeah.
And then her head just got bigger.
Everybody has
bigger.
Fucking brain injuries in Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. I'm like, what? Going on.
I swear to God, what was Lewis Carroll smoking when he wrote this? I mean, seriously.
I actually read through The Looking Glass when I was younger, and I can't remember any of it. Like,
I don't think I read either of them, actually.
I got a little set when I was younger, and it was like loads of, like, you know, classic, like Tom Sawyer or what. Not Tom Sawyer, but like loads of different
classics,
things.
Children's classics.
Yeah, and I remember reading it, and like, it was like, even as a kid, when I read it, I remember thinking, God, this is so complex. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
it just brings to mind, what do we actually read our kids?
Yeah. But like,
back when we were
kids. I remember nothing like that happening. Like, the movie, like, is nothing. I don't remember the story. Like, I don't know if that's what's happened in the book. I'm assuming it's some kind of, you know.
Oh, they probably took creative licenses for usually.
Oh, totally, yeah. But like, I actually really like the story with the two queens and why they, like, don't, well, why the Red Queen, or the Queen of Hearts, just unlike the White Queen. Like, I quite like that. I thought it was a good...
And then they had their, like, little moment at the end where the White Queen apologised and all was forgiven, we kind of think.
And I liked when we saw time for the first time. But when all the like clocks or the watches, what you call them? What kind of watch?
Oh, they were like the lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite cute. Because you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of All Dogs Go to Heaven, where all the stopwatches are actually also people's lives.
Oh.
That's like must be a common like.
I can't remember the last time I've seen that movie.
Well, it's life ruining because it's so sad.
Yeah, I have vague recollections of watching it and crying, going, yeah.
Yeah, you're like,
yeah,
no.
So, yeah, I've probably blocked it out. It was
you probably have.
Yeah. But I loved the scene with the Mad Hatter's tea party.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Because that actually brings it through then into, because they were making lots and lots of time jokes and it was actually very funny.
Like loads of puns.
Yeah,
and stuff.
The Cheshire Cat was literally lying on time and it was like, I'm on time.
Yeah. Or the bunny or the rabbit, he was beside him, he's like, time's on my side. And
but,
I was like,
yeah,
oh.
But that drew it back into like the first movie, yeah. Where
why they were always like,
whether it was always just before tea time,
yeah.
Because time got pissed off and stopped them at 1 minute
of
time.
It was like Inception, like,
yes,
why they were the way they were and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool. There was lots of things in it. One of the things that I just was kind of like, what the fuck, was the ball of that starts time, you know, the little. So I can't
remember. Cryosphere.
Yeah, God, you're good at this shit. I need to get you on the podcast more. She remembers all of the like actual names, whereas I'm just describing them terribly. But I thought that being like a ship and stuff was kind of like dumb, because I was just kind of like, oh, like it was very sci-fi.
Well, how else are you supposed to navigate through time?
Like, yeah, it was. I get it, but like I was just kind of like, oh, I don't know. It's kind of like a bit too like.
I thought it was a bit stupid with, you know, pull me.
Yeah.
Toggle on it.
And do you know what I have to say, right? Just going back into like stuff that has no relevance really in a way, but in part one of the scenes Alice randomly wakes up in a mental home, like in an institution.
Oh, because she's after coming back to reality because it was the only way to escape time.
But that reminds me so much of the Buffy episode where Buffy turns up in the, remember she wakes up in the institution in Buffy, is it called Normal Again? There's an episode of Buffy where she wakes up and Joyce is there and Joyce says, You're rambling about like vampires and your friends.
Oh, and then it turned out it was just a dream or something, wasn't
yeah,
it?
But yeah. Like I was kind of like, is that them temporarily going back to like what's actually happening? But like Alice and Buffy and stuff are all creating these like,
which is strange because they
things.
Didn't do that in Alice in Wonderland, because she was just fell down the rabbit hole and that was it, and everyone presumed she fell asleep.
Mm.
Whereas this time we actually find out that she's been ranting and raving and roaming around her former potential father-in-law's office, which is a bit strange. And then there was Moriarty.
Who's he?
Moriarty was Andrew Scott. It was the bad guy.
I saw you being happy about it in cinema. Yeah. I was like, who is he? I actually thought for a second it was Mark Ruffalo.
No.
And I thought it was him, and I was like, what the fuck?
Andrew Scott's Irish.
I don't know who he is.
He's the bad guy from Sherlock, the new Sherlock.
I've never seen it.
Oh, we have to rectify that.
I never finished the first bit of Sherlock either. I'm a bad person, I know.
Oh, you are. Oh, get out.
I actually watched Peaky Blinders recently, though. It's good.
I'm a whole, like, 2 seasons behind on Peaky Blinders.
I'm only going to watch 1 season of Peaky Blinders.
Oh, we're on the same
page. I literally only, like, did the finale last night. But, yeah, there's loads of shit on Netflix I need to check out.
Yes.
Pretty much.
But, and Sherlock. Oh, you have to text me when you get to Sherlock.
I will.
Yeah.
I only watch a few episodes. Oh, I watched 2 episodes. I don't know. They're very long.
You didn't even give it a whole season.
No.
Like, 3 episodes is a season.
Yeah, probably. My attention span is obviously not good.
Well, yeah, they're like
it.
Mini movies,
yeah.
Though, but that's the thing I like about them.
But I will finish
it. And Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, come on, people. Hello.
He's got the weirdest face.
No.
But in a good way, like. It's a very strong face.
I think he's just awesome. All kinds of awesome. And you haven't even got to the best bit of reality yet.
Go on, tell me about him.
Well, I can't, because you're going to watch it, so I can't tell you about Moriarty.
Well, basically, he played the doctor in the Insane Asylum,
and he, I wanted to
it's
smack him.
It's a very brief cameo.
Oh, but I so wanted to smack him, because he literally, like, walked in, and he was listing off her ailments, and it was like, flights of fancy, over emotional, easily excitable, and it was like, typical female, and I was like, you wanker.
Yeah.
and then he was like, now some people say that this isn't easily fixable, easy curable, but I'm of the opposite opinion, and he comes out with this massive syringe. I'm like, what the fuck?
But it's actually kind of funny, because like, isn't it, didn't it say it was like set in the 1800s or something?
Yeah, 1875
or something.
75, yeah, there we go.
But like, when you look at it, you're kind of thinking like, they probably, like, they obviously did do that kind of thing to people who are just...
Yeah, because have you been watching Penny Dreadful lately?
Oh, I love Penny Dreadful.
Oh, the last episode of Penny Dreadful.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, damn it! because
we should do because this one, oh, I love
fucking tie in perfectly.
She goes into the insane asylum.
Well, the last
I saw on Twitter like something about it.
Yeah, the last episode is all basically her practically in solitary confinement in an insane asylum, and the shit they did to her, and it was basically because they thought she was nuts, and all she wanted to do was express her free will. And
oh my you're God. Like, I love Eva Green.
Fuck,
though.
I was born in the 21st century. Is all I have to say about that.
But that's probably like people like when you think about it, like I'm kind of looking at it in a sense like, is Alice like schizophrenic? Is she having a like breakdown and this is what's going on with her?
I don't know. It's kind of, it is one of those situations where you're kind of going, do you just take it as a fanciful story or do you try and read more into it?
Yeah.
I just like to take it for the fantasies that it is.
That it is, yeah.
Now, the first one was easier to take because it's just like, oh, she fell asleep and had a fanciful dream.
It's a very like well-known story, the first one. Like everybody kind of knows. But like True Looking Glass, I don't think a lot of people.
No, and I must admit, I hold my hands and go, I don't think I've read either of them, actually.
Is there any more after True Looking Glass?
I want to say it was just the two.
I feel like it is just the two. Because like, I remember, I didn't read Alice in Wonderland as a kid, but I read Through the Looking Glass, and I don't think there's any more.
How, that annoys me. How can you have read the second one and not read the first one?
Because I got in the set when I was a kid, and I was like,
But did you not get the first one with
the set? I probably
did,
I don't know. I can't remember.
And then you just chose to read the second one. What is wrong with you, Jonah?
It's just a classic story. I probably did, but I don't remember like anything that happened in Through the Looking Glass.
Well, I can't help you there because I haven't read this. But it's just you're freaking out my OCD here because, like, you know, you have to read books.
I probably
order.
Did. I was like really, really young, but I thought the movie was good. It was good.
Finally back to the movie.
Yeah, back to the movie. I thought it was good, but also like this. I actually never even got to say what I was going to say. I freaking totally went off track, but it kind of made me think like when they went to Wonderland and everyone was like, you have to help the Mad Hatter, like blah blah. And all I could think about was this whole Johnny Depp stuff that's going on lately. And
oh,
I was like,
no, because it's such a, the Mad Hatter is such a forceful character, It's kind of easy to dissociate him from Johnny Depp.
Yeah, no, but I thought it was funny, in the first scene, like, they were kind of saying, like, oh my God, like, he's changed, and...
Oh!
You know, and it kind of made me think, like, that is so fucking weirdly ironic.
Okay, I get where you're going.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just a weirdly ironic moment at the start of the movie, and, like... It's also ironic that all of this is happening as his movie is, like, coming out and the publicity and stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh, there's so many, like, weird little synchronicities here that are just...
I didn't think of it like that.
Illuminati conspiracy theory shit. Like, I'm like, what's going on?
I don't think Johnny Depp quite reaches Illuminati status. No.
Not yet, anyways. But I don't know. I thought I liked it.
I did too.
It was a decent sequel.
Yeah.
There were some corny bits in it, but
But as sequels go, it was quite good. Because normally, in a trilogy, the first movie sets up the story, then the second movie is nearly like the filler for the third movie. And then it's all about the third movie. Whereas this was a standalone movie. Like, you didn't have to have seen the last one. Yeah.
I didn't think that either. Like, there was some things that you might need to know, but not really.
No.
Because, like, if you kind of already know the general gist of Alice in Wonderland, you can go see this movie.
And oh my God, her outfit for the first... half of the movie is horrific.
I kind of liked it, but I wouldn't wear it. Like,
oh God,
the colors in it were quite nice.
They were. It was purple. It was.
It was mentally colored.
Technicolor. It was Alice in Wonderland's Technicolor dream coat.
It was. And I also liked how we got to see the Mad Hatter's family. I thought that was really cute.
Oh, that was.
Can we roll down the windows in here?
I'm afraid I have to start the engine.
Sorry, podcast people, we are like suffocating
yes,
in the car
it's
here.
It's a very warm day to be doing this in Ireland. Give me a moment to find the keys.
I would say we'd edit this out, but for authenticity, we will leave it in.
Now, do you want air or do you want the window?
Just the window. I'm okay.
I'm afraid that window's somewhere.
It's okay. Any air is good with me.
Any air.
But I really liked how we've seen the... is that going to make a weird noise?
No.
I wonder will that pick it up, though.
Okay.
Sorry everybody if you can hear that. I don't know. The sound is very sensitive on the podcast sometimes.
Well, that's why I was wondering about opening the window.
No, we need to open the window or we're gonna die.
Okay, next time we'll do it in your car.
Yeah. My car is also like shit like that, but
did you just call my car shit?
No, but I need to turn on my car to roll down the windows.
Modern technology, along with the day when all you had to do was roll down the window with the winder.
But yeah, I like the Mad Hatter's family. I was surprised they were all ginger.
Yeah, but none of them were as ginger as the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, he was really ginger.
He's like atomic ginger.
But his like face is like ghostly in comparison to this.
Yeah, no, there's definitely something about Igon. And the mini Hatter. Oh, he was like, what, 6 or 7?
They did a little flashback to like the Mad Hatter. Basically, Alice goes back in time to like...
screw it up.
She tries to change the past, and basically the whole premise of the movie, I guess, is that you can't change time.
And she has to learn this like through mixing up stuff and... And yeah, but we get to see the little mini Mad Hatter, and he is so cute.
He was so cute. And all of them, you saw all the Cheshire Cat.
The Cheshire Cat trying to disappear for the first time.
They were so cute.
They were.
I love seeing baby versions of, like, characters. They're so cute.
Have you, speaking of baby versions of characters, totally off topic here, but have you seen the baby versions of the Avengers?
No.
Oh, they're so
cute. In cartoon version?
Yeah, they're done in like a little...
Oh, I probably have.
They're done in like a little comic strip. Aww. And it's basically like the baby Avengers and Bucky Bear gets stolen by the baby X-Men. Ah! And then there's like this big battle and it's just the cutest thing you've ever seen.
That's quite
Sorry.
Cute.
Back to...
We're like detoured so much on this review. Sorry if you really care for a proper review, but this is what we're doing. We don't plan this shit.
No, and we don't get to see each other that often.
This is our first podcast together, so hopefully we'll do some more reviews for you guys of movies that we've seen.
Not in the warm car, though.
No, not in the warm car. But overall, I really enjoyed the movie. I thought, like you said, I think it was a good sequel and probably a good standalone film. I don't know how it's going to do with all of the like drama going on at the moment, like if people are going to even give Johnny Depp any credit.
What did they say? No publicity, or there's no such thing as bad publicity?
Yeah, that's true.
People might go to see it just to see what kind of a performance he puts in. Because he is one of the integral, like the whole movie revolves around him.
Yeah, it definitely does. The whole film is pretty much about the Mad Hatter. And like, I think without him it wouldn't be the same. Like,
no.
Like, it would just be really, really weird. But like, there's something really scary about Johnny Depp in this film. Like, I actually, like, it's the first time I've watched the Mad Hatter and thought, oh God, like, he'd freak me out. Like, if... There's something creepy about
him. I got that from the first one.
Did you?
Yeah, because especially when he goes to war.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of
that.
The first movie.
Yeah,
and he pulls out the sword and you're like, rawr.
Yeah.
He gets his big, thick Scottish accent on again. And
I don't
know. I can't say a Scottish accent without putting on a Scottish accent.
And do you know what I kept watching? Like, if you watch the movie,
I just need to apologize to anyone who's actually Scottish listening to the podcast, because that was really horrific. Put it down to first time nerves. There we go.
But one of the things I kept like paying like really close attention to, which is so weird, because I really like the White Queen. I really want to cosplay her someday because I think she's cool.
Oh, you do an awesome
cosplay.
She'd
be so cool.
Do you know what you should do with your pink hair? You do an awesome cosplay of like the younger version of her.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Because she had the pink and white hair. And
she did have pink and white hair.
Now there's a good cosplay idea. And we're totally off topic again.
But there was a thing that I was even thinking, if I was to cosplay her, right? This is me, like, whenever I watch a movie now, I'm like, what can I put together? Because she had this choker on, like, in the scene, like, where she was younger, where her and her sister were, like, her sister was getting, like, throned. Is that what it's called? Crowned?
Oh, yes, there were.
And she had the bit pink. She had the pink in her hair there, too. And, like, she had this necklace on. I was like, I could make that necklace. I was like, and I was looking at it going, I can make that necklace.
Screenshot.
But like, when I was looking at it, her fingers do these like really kind of like...
She does do the weird random...
Yeah, and I'm like, but I was thinking that if you were doing that, like you'd have to do that. Like,
yeah, to get the whole full effect.
Yeah.
Like, and I'd probably be standing to the side of you going, it's okay, Sean, I have your bag.
Yeah.
I have your phone.
You're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But like...
But I think it'd be this game, same if you were going to cosplay the Scarlet Witch.
Because yeah, the way she has the hand thing,
yeah. The whole weird, bizarre hand thing.
Yeah.
Well, no, I know she has powers and that's why she's just the weird hand thing, but still.
Wondering, like, when they went back to the, like, mini, like, version of her, like, the, like, younger version, she didn't do that.
The liar, liar, pants on fire version.
Yeah. But I was thinking that she didn't do that then. And I was like, has she gone a bit mad from
Maybe
years
it's
of
the guilt?
Yeah. Ah. Has she gone mad from years of guilt? And that's why she's so like, everyone.
Or maybe she's just embraced her inner weirdness.
Yeah, maybe.
Because in fairness, it's, you know, Wonderland. They're all a bit barmy.
And I really like
maybe
her makeup.
Maybe she was too normal and she had to make herself seem a bit weird.
That's true.
Sorry, I'm very
But she was quite normal at the start.
Yes, like she was a big fat liar at the start.
Yeah. Oh, but like anyone would do that.
Oh, of course, yeah, but you wouldn't turn your sister into a raving lunatic by doing this.
She didn't know, like, and that's why I felt so sorry for her, because I was like, oh my God, she knew that she was the reason why...
That what happened to her sister.
Yeah.
And which maybe that's why she did go a little weird. And I also thought one other slight annoyance of mine through this movie was that when they were her sister ran off after the whole throning incident, that she came out, and as Alice was standing there, she explained in minute detail when the incident with her sister had happened, so that Alice could conveniently
strangers. Remember that time my sister hit her head
on the sixth stroke at 6 o'clock on XYZ day?
It's like, seriously? You almost expect somebody to pop up and go, that was weirdly coincidental.
Deadpool. You need Deadpool to go, where's the fourth wall, people? Where's the fourth wall?
You can imagine just popping out and doing that. Because I was just so like, I even remember in the cinema, you were like, what the fuck? Like, it's just so like.
Got lazy during the script writing process.
I know. That was quite funny. But like, overall, like, it's kind of like, I guess I have to do that to like, make the story
faster. Oh, of course they do. Oh, we know why they do.
Yeah.
But I felt it was a lazy way to do
it. It was a lazy way to do it, definitely. But the costumes in this movie are amazing. Like, I kept watching the, like, Mad Hatter's, like, jacket and stuff like that. And he had, like, little rolls of, like...
And did you see the ring he had?
What was that?
He had, like, a ring that was a pin cushion and there was a pin stuck in it.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, really cute. Sorry, what were you saying?
And he has the thimble on his finger. But did you notice at the end his hands are really disgusting?
What was the story with his hands?
What the fuck was that?
Was that dye from making the hats?
Oh my god, that could be it. Yeah. Because like the top of his hands, it looked like somebody had got like a paintbrush and like smacked paint on his hand. Because like his hands are obviously very white, but the tips of them are like orange. Like from his hair?
Well, you know, I saw the back of his hand. Like, okay, so his hand is white. And then I saw kind of
speckles.
On the back of his hand was like speckles of orange. But then nearly all of his fingers were kind of red dye type thing. But he was wearing a very nice hat, kind of think safari hunter hat.
Mm.
That was kind of that reddy color, and then the band was orange. So I'm wondering if he
that could be true
made the hat.
Yeah, I never thought of
that. To go rescue his family.
But like, I never noticed his hands before until like they were really up close.
Mm.
I was like, ew, they look kind of gross and scary.
I remember him having weird hands on the last movie as
did well. He probably did. I haven't.
Maybe seen... not as distinctive as.
I've only seen that movie once, and literally in the cinema.
No, I saw it twice. Once was in Japanese, which I can tell you is very confusing when you know exactly what's going on, but you have no idea what they're saying.
But yeah, no, I liked the movie. I thought it was good. It was better than I thought it would be, actually, to be honest.
I quite enjoyed it. Well, I had expectations going in that it was going to be as good as the last one, and it lived up to it.
Would you recommend it to anyone?
I would. I would go with, say, 3.5, 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, like I said, we had issues with it, but...
Yeah. I'd probably go with 3. I'm not that generous.
Okay, well, average it out. We'll go with 3.5 then.
But no, it was good. It was better than I thought it would be. And I actually really enjoyed the costumes in the movie. Like, I thought they were really good. And the effects were fantastic.
The effects were fantastic. Especially that whole through time thing where it was like a big ocean.
That was pretty cool.
That was well
done. I liked that idea. But yeah, I would recommend going to see it. Maybe not with younger kids.
No, I would say definitely 10 or up.
Yeah. It's a little bit like, it is kind of scary in places.
Especially when, you know, at the end, she actually does destroy time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually really cool.
That was very well done.
But, yeah, definitely not for the younger kids, just in case they get a bit freaked out by some of the, like, CGI and scenes and stuff like that. So, yeah. How was your first podcast, Lena?
Dun, dun, dun!
We've made it through till the end.
Slightly longer than anticipated, but sure, look, that was my fault. I...
No, no. We
diverged
detail.
In different areas there.
But yeah, next time me and Selena will probably do another review
for
you guys.
We'll do a Sherlock one when Sherlock watches Sherlock.
Eventually! But yeah, definitely check out the movie if you guys are fans of the first movie. I'd recommend it just to kind of complete why some of the characters are the way they are.
Yeah.
It gives you a lot of background detail.
If you were a fan of the first one, I highly recommend coming to see the second one. Because like that, you do get the little backstories.
And you understand the characters so much more after this film, like, which I think is really good.
Yeah.
And
Alice kicks ass.
Yeah, Alice is a badass. She's like a pretty cool role model, I
guess. She's as thick as two planks for like the first few minutes where she's dealing with the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, but the first bit of her was so badass. But then, like you said, you can look too deep into it and go, is she crazy or is she just really badass?
I know, but everything she said about don't tell me I can't do the impossible or I don't believe in the impossible. And then what is it like at the end of the first conversation she has with the Mad Hatter?
Yeah.
It's like for...
God damn you, Alice.
Seriously, Alice. Seriously.
But yeah, check it out and let us know what you think. And Selena will be back again soon for another podcast.
Bye!
Bye!
She was just